Good morning, everybody. A little bit different today. You guys all had to sit in a different seat. And I bet you some of them are like freaking out. It's like, this is too weird. It's too weird. Actually, you guys probably found there's about the same spot. Good night. My message today actually stems from a bumper sticker that I saw. And to me, I like bumper stickers, but there are some out there that really just should not be on a car. Let's just face it. And some of them you can't even read unless you're right up on them, and then that's not good there. So, but I saw one, and I've only seen it one time, and it just struck me, and I actually wanted to pull over the person who was driving and talk to them, because the bumper stickers say a little bit about the people who are inside the rig. And this said, "I choose to be grateful. I choose to be grateful." And it just struck me as so not American. So not our culture. You see the commercials with people hanging out the window. I want my money and I want it now. And just the garbage that we are inundated with on a daily basis. And then I see, I choose to be grateful. And so I had a message already for this Sunday. I let Brenda know. And God just kind of went, nope, there's some circumstances, there's some things going on in your life and in the life of New Hope. And I want you to speak about this. And so I started digging, and I looked up grateful in my study. And there's really not a whole lot in the scriptures that says be grateful. One scripture in the New Testament says be content wherever you are, whatever the circumstances, be content. But as far as being grateful, I really had to do some digging. And so I started out, and it led me back to the original plan that God had. And his original plan was that he would be in relationship and dwell with his creation. He wants nothing more than a relationship. And in the Old Testament, he chose the Israelites, the Jews, to be that special people. And he developed a system where they could be connected with him. And when he created Adam and Eve, he walked with them in the garden like a friend would. And until they sinned, everything is exactly the way that God planned it to be in the beginning. And then we move on to the sin of disobedience that they committed, and everything changed. Everything changed. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2 says, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." When we sin for the very first time, we are separated from God. There is an automatic disconnect between him and his creation. And if some of you are sitting out there going, "Man, I'm glad I haven't been separated from God yet," you are sadly mistaken. Because it says no man is without sin. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every single person. But God, in his infinite wisdom and love, made a plan that his people in the Old Testament could be drawn back in relationship with him. And we're going to take a look at that in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 through 14. This is before they were to build the temple. This is before God had moved them into the promised land. He was making a way that his people could be in right relationship with him. And it starts out with this. "When you cross the Jordan and live in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to inherit, and he gives you rest from all your enemies around you so that you live in security, Then it shall come about that the place in which the Lord your God will choose for his name to dwell, there you shall bring all that I command you. So God is going to choose a place that he is going to decide on his own on where he is going to dwell here on earth. And he says, there you shall bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and your contribution of your hand, and all your choice votive offerings, which you will vow to the Lord. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your sons and your daughters, your male and female servants, and the Levite who is within your gates, since he has no portion or inheritance with you. Be careful that you do not offer your burnt offerings in every cultic place you see, but in the place which the Lord chooses, in one of your tribes. There you shall offer your burnt offerings, and there you shall do all that I command you. God is being very specific here. He says, if you want to be in right relationship with me, you will do it according to my ways, not your ways. I will designate the place that I am going to dwell, and you are to bring your offerings to that place. He says, make sure you don't take it to every cultic place that you see, every spreading hill, every spreading tree. Do not adopt the ways of the people around you. I have a way that is right, and it's my way, and there's no discussion. And that is the same God that we serve today. Now, this is Old Testament. But the Old Testament are types and shadows of things to come. And God says, make sure you do things my way. You don't get to choose. I did a study one year, and it's called A Year Through the Torah. And out of that, I got a description or a paragraph of what the sacrificial system meant and why it was established. And it reads like this. It says, when a person sins against the Lord, he or she deserves to die. The penalty for our sin is death, period. That payment needs to be made with your blood when you sin. Satan, the accuser, comes before God and makes a case for the person's soul, but God allows the death of a sacrificial victim to take the place of the sinner. Now, we're talking about the sacrifices in the Old Testament. The guilty person leans his hands upon the head of the animal and then says confession. He says something like this, I deserve to die instead of this innocent animal, but the Lord mercifully accepts the death of this innocent one in my stead. And when God sees the shed blood of the ascending smoke of the sacrifice, he forgives the sinner based on his faith and his repentance. So just going through the motions is not what God forgives. It's the heart of the person bringing that sacrifice. And if you do any studying in the Old Testament, in Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, they were continuing to do the sacrifices, but their heart wasn't in it. They were just going through the motions. They're like those people who just show up on a Sunday, punch their get-out-of-hell-free card, and walk out and live however it is that they want to live. And that's what they were doing in the Old Testament. So God established a principle, and it's called the Korban principle. Korban is the sacrificial system, and the plural of Korban is Korbanot. It comes from the Hebrew root word korav, which means to come close. So God was making a way through the sacrifices of coming close to him. And there were five different types of korbanot. There were three that were voluntary. You could do them if you wanted to. And there were two that were required. And I'm going to go over these five a little bit so that you can understand the difference between them. The first one, the two that were required, were, first one is called chatat. It's that guttural in the back of your throat, chatat. And it was required for unintentional sin. See, there is no sacrifice that was allowed in the korbanot for intentional sin. Intentional sin required death. So there was one that was allowed for unintentional sin. So if you didn't quite know that you sinned, there's a way that you can draw back and come close to God. Because even if it's unintentional and you don't even know that you did it, there's that separation. God says, I don't care if you don't understand. I don't care if you don't know. It happens anyways. So this chatat was meant to be an unintentional sin offering. And it required blood. You had to bring the sacrifice to the altar, to the kohanim, the high priests, and they would offer that sacrifice to you. And then what you would do is you would lay your hand on the animal, and this is called semekha, and it means to lean in. You would lay your hands on the animal, and you would confess, which is called viduv. So you would lay your hands on the animal as you're transferring your sin onto that innocent animal, and then you confessed whatever it was. Lord, I don't know what I did. I'm not aware of it, but I want you to cleanse me. I want to draw close to you. And then that animal is taken and sacrificed. So that is chatat. The blood was required. The second one is asham. And it was required for certain improper acts. So if you're dealing with a neighbor and you're selling some land and you overcharge them, then you were required to offer asham. And you were actually offered, you were required to pay back in full plus 20% whatever you cheated them out of. Can you imagine if in America we live that way now? I'd be rich. But it was for certain improper acts, and semekha and viduv was offered, and then you were forgiven of your sins. So now we're getting to the three voluntary. Those two were required. If you sinned unintentionally or an improper act, you were required by God to perform that sacrifice or to give that sacrifice. Now we have three voluntary offerings or sacrifices. The first is ola, and it means an ascending offering, an offering that is going up to God, that you're offering to him. And there's not a whole lot of details as far as what that is, but it is an offering that is ascending up to God. The second one was mincha, and that is a meal offering. You could bring a meal and you would share it with the Levites. The Levites did not receive any land. They didn't receive anything. Everything that they had was brought to them by the people offering the sacrifices. God says, I am not giving you a portion. You will serve me. You are going to be the ones in charge of the temple or the tabernacle. You are going to be the ones in charge of offering the sacrifices. And these were Aaron's descendants. So part of the offerings that were brought to the temple or the tabernacle were to feed the Levites. It was one of God's ways of taking care of the Levites. They were not to do anything except work according to God's temple. So part of the meal offering was offered, and some of it was burned up, and some of it was given to the priests. Then we move to the third one. It's called shelamim, and it is a peace offering given to God, or giving God thanks on a joyous occasion. So if there was a celebration or your daughter was getting married or whatever, you would bring this offering to God. And usually it was a food offering. It was flour. It was bread. And some of it would be burned up and some of it would be shared. But it was a thank you, God, for this joyous occasion. Thank you, God, for the goodness in my life. Now, if you read throughout the Old Testament, there were things that were required that God made sure that they brought the first fruits. So when you had an orchard or a barley crop, 10% or a tithe or the first fruits were offered to God. So that it's according to the sages, the Jews would go out into their vineyards or whatever it was before things began to get ripe, and they would look for the first fruit that began to ripen. And they would take a cloth and they would tie it on that branch or that vine. And then when it was fully ripened, it was picked and it was brought as an offering to God. It was a thank you, Lord, for your blessing of this crop. So that is the offering of the first fruits. And in Shalamin, it was a peace offering, giving thanks for a joyous occasion. Semekah was done. You could bring a sacrifice of an animal. You would lean in. And when you confessed, instead of saying a confession of what you had done, you actually offered a praise to God. Thank you, Lord, for this blessing in my life. There's another one of Shalamin, and it's kind of a secondary one. It's called Shalmei Toda. And it is a thank offering. So whenever a Jew had a reason to recite a blessing for a deliverance from danger. So if you went through something and it was dangerous and God delivered you through that, you would bring this offering. And it was a huge offering. 40 loaves were required at this offering. And the reason is because you brought everybody that you loved, all your family, all of your friends, to the temple. And you shared this huge meal together. And you gave thanks to God for delivering you from danger. Now, these are voluntary. These are all voluntary, except for the two. And so I started thinking, okay, what's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament? We're no longer required to bring sacrifices, and I'm glad that we don't. I just, can you imagine the scene with all of these animals being slaughtered, their blood being shed, and the Levites were required to work around the clock. When you brought a sacrifice, an offering, the fire on the altar could not go out. It had to be kept going morning, noon, and night. So they made sure that they had enough Levites to make sure that that never went out. Because you brought these offerings every single day. Every day it was available for someone to come and get closer to God. What an amazing picture. With these different voluntary offerings of people coming and bringing bread and having it burn on the altar and sharing it with their family, thanking God for delivering them from danger, thanking God for their crops, thanking God for each and everything that was going on in their lives. And remember, types and shadows are what the Old Testament are. So what can we learn from the sacrificial system that was established, those things that were required, those things that are voluntary, the sacrifices that we offer up? These voluntary offerings were an act of gratitude. They weren't required. God did not require that you come to him and thank him for these things, but he did give you an opportunity, give the Jews an opportunity to do so. And so it was a sacrifice from the heart. The other ones were sin, and you had to do that. But these are chosen. These are free will offerings to God. Often you'll hear of a wave offering in the Old Testament, and you actually brought whatever it is, and you waved it before the Lord. And you gave thanks and you gave praise. And what's kind of interesting is this Shalamin, the peace offering, and the thankful offering. As far as the two for sin, you always went to the north side of the altar with your offering, and you did the Semekah and the confession, the Viduv. But they all went to that side. So your fellow Jew didn't know what you were going to the north side for, because it could have been for a thank offering. So it kind of helped you to keep that between you and God. So it's like, oh, there goes Harry. Harry's going to the north side. He's doing Semekah. He's doing Viduv. Is Harry been a bad boy? God offered the person bringing a thank offering to do the very same thing. So there wasn't that would keep you from doing that. So, but they were able to offer these things in gratitude. And I began to think, and one of the reasons that God sent them into exile is because they were continuing to do these things, but they did them out of arrogance. They did them out of have to. Oh, we got to go and give a peace offering to God. Or they just didn't do it anymore. Or they offered it wherever they wanted. Oh, there's a nice tree up there. Let's just go. We'll offer it at the tree. And God says, no, you do things my way. You don't get to pick and choose how you're going to worship me. Are we, am I, grateful for God's blessings in my life? How do we show that gratefulness? Because a grateful heart is one that is unselfish. A grateful heart is one who focuses on what you have and not what you don't have. A grateful heart focuses on what you have as far as your relationship with God, and you're not looking at someone else. Gratefulness, the opposite of gratefulness, is entitlement. We are raising up a generation of entitled little buggers. They want everything and they want it now. We're going through our parenting class, and one of the things that has been brought up is like, well, I just don't want little Jimmy to not like me as a parent. Well, I want to be my child's best friend. And we raise little monsters who are entitled and are not grateful for anything. I remember watching my nephews open Christmas presents and my niece and just rip, 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 toss, go to the next one. And I thought, you ungrateful little bugger. That is the opposite of grateful, being entitled. The opposite of grateful is bitterness. Bitterness starts here. Bitterness is a selfish emotion. Bitterness is all about you. My wife had a movie on yesterday. It's called Bridesmaids. And the more I listen to her, the blonde, the angrier I got. Her best friend was getting married. It was supposed to be a joyous thing. And she turned everything around to be about her. That is an ungrateful person. You ever talked with someone and they can't talk about anything but themselves and what they like? That is an ungrateful person. Because at the heart of an ungrateful person is selfishness. It's all about me. I want to do things my way. Don't tell me what to do. Anti-authority is an ungrateful heart. Another thing that we do is, if we're ungrateful, we take things for granted. We take things for granted. I took our building that just had a fire in it for granted. God gave that building to Pastor Lee and Donzi years ago as a blessing. A place that we could gather. And like Aaron said, that's not New Hope. That is not New Hope. This is New Hope. It's the people. And I took that place for granted. And then Belinda calls me up and says, we can't have church there on Sunday. And I went, what? And I'm going to be quite interesting. I'm going to be quite honest with you. There have been many times that I have cursed that building. Every time it needed something fixed, every time something broke, oh, the boiler's out, oh, it doesn't start, oh, this, oh, that, oh, the lights don't go on, oh, the lights don't go off. I was like, oh, I hate this. That's an ungrateful heart. You see, when God gives us blessings in our life, and this is according to ancient Hebrew lore or whatever, according to the sages. They said, if you received a blessing from God and you did not thank him for it, you stole it. How many blessings are we stealing from God on a daily basis? How many times are we angry about our circumstances? Well, you know, if you're single, I hate being single. I just can't, I don't understand. It's that grass is always greener on the other side sort of thing. Or if you're married, I'm tired of being married. Are we content where we are? Are we grateful for what we have in our lives? I see little old ladies and little old men out and walking. I go to the hospitals a lot with my job. And I see little men and little old women walking in together, hand in hand. And I go, I wonder if they realize how much of a blessing that is. Because so many older people are going about it alone. So do they take that for granted? How many of you take your husbands or your wives for granted? Or your children? Your family. And you look at it and it's like, I wish little Jimmy wasn't such a little brat. Well, would your attitude change if little Jimmy got killed in a car wreck the next day? I'll bet it would. So I choose to be grateful is just that. It's a choice. It is absolutely a choice. It is seeing things from a different perspective. It's like Pastor Lee went this last week to a funeral. And when you go to a funeral, you appreciate life a lot more. You appreciate what you have. We all have aches, ailments, pains. Some people have cancer. And the thing is, the Bible says, be content where you are. Have peace where you are. It doesn't mean, oh, everything stinks. I'm just going to sit here and wallow in it, in bad decisions. No. But when we offer a sacrifice of praise or a thank offering, we do that not by bringing it to the altar, but we do it in our attitudes. Every single day. Every single day. We need to choose to be grateful. I am grateful that we had this facility to come to. I am grateful that Redeemer Lutheran has offered their facility for us to use. So I was thinking, I don't want to miss my Ezekiel class. But we don't have any place to go. The adjuster, I think, is that who goes to Redeemer Lutheran, Belinda? The cleanup guy shows up at the church, and one of the first things he does, he goes to Redeemer Lutheran. He called his pastor. He said, Pastor, they're not going to be in this building for a while. What can we do? Pastor calls up Belinda. Hey, we have a building you can use. Why don't you come on down and meet with us, and we'll show you what we have. That's awesome. We should have a grateful heart. We need to choose. When we get into that angry, that bitter, that, you know what, my kids are driving me crazy and I can't stand it anymore. Step back and go, thank you, Lord, for the blessings. You see, these voluntary offerings were done in appreciation and gratefulness for what God had done for them. It's stepping back and having a different set of glasses on where you can see where it's not all about you. It's choosing to be grateful. We should all slap that all over our cars. I choose to be grateful. And it might deter some of your actions behind the wheel if you know that you have stickers all over your car that say, I choose to be grateful. And I am speaking to me. But it's a choice. It is a daily choice. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to try in my morning prayer time is to mention that. Lord, I choose to be grateful today. My back hurts. I don't even want to get out of bed. But you know what? I choose to be grateful. And what it does is it helps you to focus on the right things instead of the wrong things. See, in America, we love to focus on the wrong things. The media would be out of business if it weren't allowed to focus on the negative. That's why I don't watch much television anymore, because it's all garbage. I don't care which way you paint it, which way you vote, which way you do whatever it is. It's you watch the news and I walk away depressed. I choose to be grateful. I choose to be grateful for what I have. Thank you, Lord, because there's somebody way worse than you. You want to start getting into your own little pity parties? Well, Pastor Jim didn't say hello to me this morning, and you know, I'm going somewhere else now. There's the door. We need to treat one another with honor and respect, and we can do that when we choose to be grateful. Choose to be grateful for what God has done for us. Thank him for those things. Don't steal those blessings from him. Don't be that nasty little bugger who's just ripping through the paper. Okay, God, what'd you give me today? That stinks. Come on. Stop focusing on what you don't have and start focusing on the blessings that you have now. I believe, and this is just the gospel according to Jim, I believe that God has a storehouse full of blessings that he refuses to give out because we're not grateful for the ones he has given us. Because it wasn't very long after that I stopped giving presents to my nieces and nephews. Why should I? You're just enabling them to be little brats. So I was like, nope. And if we're stealing blessings from God, how many is he withholding? It's like, you know what, Jim? You just kind of poo-pooed the last one I gave you. You didn't even acknowledge it. I'm not giving you this one. Why would I? We need to choose on a daily basis to bring a sacrifice of praise. That's what it talks about. A sacrifice of praise. A sacrifice of thanksgiving for all that he's given us. Everything. Choose to focus on the positives. Paul says, I don't look back. You know how I go through this thing? I don't look back. I don't look behind me at all the garbage. I look forward to what God has for me. We need to stop looking back. We need to stop carrying around unforgiveness and bitterness for that person who pushed you down in the sandbox in third grade. We need to choose to be grateful, because I don't know about you, with me, it doesn't come naturally. And I'm betting it doesn't come naturally with you either. You know why? Because we're all selfish little buggers. And I don't care how old you are. We need to choose to be grateful. Amen? Bron, are you ready? Angela, praise team, ready to go? All right. Please stand. I want to share a little story that I heard one time, and it was about this crotchety old man that his wife drug him to church every Sunday, and it drove him crazy. But if he didn't go with her, it was actually worse if he stayed at home. And so he would go and he'd sit in his spot next to his wife, and it drove him crazy that the pastor was always so cheerful and thankful. He was always thanking God for everything. And he just thought, you know what, for one time, just one time, I'd really like to hear him just get up and complain. And so one day he gets up, the old man gets up, and it's just a blizzard. Absolute blizzard outside. It's miserable and blowing, and he's like, nobody can be happy in this weather. And his wife gets up and she says, okay, you know, it's really bad outside. Let's just go ahead and stay home. And he goes, oh, no, we're going to church. And they get there and they're the only two there except for the pastor. And he goes and he sits down in his chair and he folds his arms and he says, I can't wait to hear this. And the pastor gets up and he starts his prayer and he says, Lord, thank you that not every day is like this. And I know I've talked, if you're the kind of person who has four children and one of them is just a little bugger and just very difficult, you know what your prayer can be? Thank you, Lord, that the other three are not like him. Seriously. It's all in perspective, people. It's all in perspective. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you that no matter what goes on, you're still in control. You are still on the throne. And Lord, I just pray right now that we would have an attitude of gratitude, that we would choose to be grateful in all things, in all circumstances. And Lord, when we give that up, the selfishness, the inward, everything that we focus on, and just live like you've called us to live in love, you give us the ability to do so. Lord, help us to choose to be grateful. In all things, in all places, with all people. And everybody said, amen. You are dismissed. Thank you for coming.